In 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I hope you'll commit this verse to memory if you haven't already. It's a wonderful verse of scripture where Paul is talking to the church at Corinth. And remember now, this church was a church that was guilty of carnality. You remember that? Over in 1 Corinthians. Matter of fact, you can go down in Hawkins County. I think it's still in Hawkins County. And there's a church named Compromise. Why in the world anybody would name a church Compromise, I don't know. But then I heard about a church that was named, actually I saw the church, Corinth Baptist Church. Why in the world? I mean, it might be a accurate title, but I don't think I'd want to name a church Corinth Baptist Church. Amen. They were known for the division, known for the carnality. Paul said some of them were saying, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Paul. And he talked about the need to get our focus on Jesus. Amen. Tonight, the Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things, behold, old things are passed away. Or old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I want to thank you for being here once again. Pray with me. Father, I thank you tonight, Lord, for the privilege to be here with our people. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. Lord, I want to lift up Jeff Gilreath to you tonight. Lord, none of us deserves another chance. But Lord, if it could be in your will, God, it burdens me to think about a man lifting his eyes in the region of the damned. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that if it could be in your will, God, he'd have another opportunity. Lord, I know that things down here sometimes look hopeless, but God, with Jesus, there's hope. We ask you tonight, Lord, to work. Help us in the message tonight, our Father. Lord, to be a blessing to our precious people. God, will give you glory. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen. Amen. This morning we started in the message on change. And I'm not going to reiterate this morning message, but there's a change that's bad that goes on many times, a change in society. Let me just say this. You could wrap that whole point up with this. Anytime somebody's going away from God or going away from the Bible and the truths and the Word of God, that's not good. That's bad. Say amen. And whether it's a family, whether it's a country, whether it's an individual, when you're going away from the things of God, that's bad. And there's a lot of things that are bad going on in the world today. But then there's a change that's good in salvation. And this morning we concentrated on the past tense, something that's already happened. Amen. We've been born again, born of God. And I had some tell me this afternoon, they never thought about how some conversions are dramatic and yet some are kind of subtle. But it means the same thing. It means a person that was on their way to hell is now on their way to heaven. A person that was carrying a load of sin and shame has now unloaded that load at the foot of the cross, and they've been forgiven of their sin. I'm glad I know that tonight. I'm glad I don't have to guess about that tonight. I'm glad I know that my Redeemer liveth. I'm glad I know in whom I've believed, and I know whom I've believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Tonight I want to move into the present tense. The past tense, I've been saved. This is a sad commentary tonight. But some people get saved and they think that's it. No, that's just the beginning. When we get saved, that's just the beginning. And God wants us to have an abundant life. Amen. A life full of the Spirit of God. A life full that's vital in the work of God. And I want to move in tonight to the present tense. That's the change that is currently taking place. Did you know that if we've experienced that change in the past, we've been saved, then the Lord begins a work. The Bible said this, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. Did you know, beloved, that he's making us like his son? Brother John, you brought something out in Sunday school. In the heart and the mind of God, we're as good as glorified. We're already there. That's right. But right now, there's a process taking place called sanctification. God is working in our lives. Amen? And we're supposed to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Bible said, how does this happen? How does this change take place? In 2 Corinthians 3:18, Paul said, but we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. Did you all know that one day we're going to be just like Jesus? Amen. Let's see, how does that scripture go? Beloved, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Did you know? Listen, it's not just about what happened back there, and I'm going to get into it in a little bit, what's going to happen out there, but he's making us like him on the journey. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, the joy of helping someone, the joy of reflecting the grace of God, the joy of praying for someone. The Bible said, as we behold the Lord, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, we're changed into the same image from glory to glory. If all we see is the news, we're not being changed much. Amen. If all we see is what's going on in society, we're not being changed much. But if we'll get in this book, amen, and behold the glory of the Lord, amen, then God begins to work and he changes us. And that's the process of sanctification. The Bible said in John 17:17, Jesus is praying now. He's talking to the Father. The Lord's prayer is not our Father who art in heaven. That's a model prayer. Jesus is teaching us how to pray. If you want to hear the Son of God pray, you turn to John chapter 17. Amen. You want to hear the Son of God pray, you go to the Garden of Gethsemane. There's where he's praying. He's praying for us in John chapter 17. And listen to what he said. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This is the tool that God uses to sanctify his children. The Bible talks about the washing of water by the word. Amen. You know, you remember when Jesus girded himself and he wanted to wash the disciples' feet. And Peter said, no, you're not going to wash my feet. He said, listen, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. And so Peter said, he come up. He's always got something good, ain't he? He said, well, don't just wash my feet. Wash me all over. And God said, Jesus said, you don't have need to be washed all over. In other words, beloved, when you're saved, you don't need to be washed all over. You've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me tell you something about being saved. These old feet get dirty in this filthy world that we live in, and God needs to clean us up every once in a while. That's why the Bible said if we say that we're without sin, we lie and we do not the truth. Amen. But if we'll confess our sin, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's part of that work, amen, that's going on. I tell you, I believe as God sanctifies us, beloved, that it helps us to be more and more and more sensitive to sin in our lives. Somebody help me right there. You know what I believe Hollywood's designed to do? Desensitize us. You know what the billboards are designed to do? Desensitize us. You know what the beer commercials are designed to do? Desensitize us. Amen? It's amazing to me, beloved, that, you know, they can come out and pass laws and say, well, we're not going to promote cigarettes anymore. We're going to write the Surgeon General warning on the pack. Amen. We're not going to let you have them pretty women up there with that thing hanging out about that far. Amen. No more on the billboards and all that. Amen. Let me tell you something right now. A cigarette ain't never caused nobody to run over an innocent family. Did you hear what I said? I'm not for smoking, amen. Don't get me wrong there, amen. One old preacher said, God wanted you to smoke, he'd have put a chimney on top of your head, amen. But I'm not for that. But what I'm telling you is we strained at a gnat and swallowed a camel. Amen. Yeah, we got to have the taxes off of that liquor. Say amen. And people getting killed every day on the highway. Amen. Because, beloved, listen, the truth is being twisted. Amen. Listen to me tonight. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I want you to turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. Would you turn there with me a minute tonight? Oh, listen, I praise the Lord tonight for his goodness. Don't you? Listen, I'm glad that he worked in my life. And I'm glad he's working in my life. Amen. Notice what he said in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Let me read the verse first of all, and then I'm going to go back and read it in its context. Look at verse 23. And the very God of peace, how many knows he's the God of peace? Amen. Amen. Sanctify you wholly. Now listen, there's another scripture that says, be you holy, for I am holy, and it's spelled H-O-L-Y. Both apply, but here he's talking about completely. Holy. Sanctify you holy. Watch this now. He said, I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus. How many's ever heard somebody say something like this? And most of the time it's an excuse to sin. Well, God knows my heart. How many's ever heard somebody say something like that? God does know your heart. But let me tell you something about your neighbor. They don't know your heart. That the Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen to me. And a lot of people stop right there. It says, for we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Honey, there's more to it than just being saved. We're still being saved. Are you listening to me? We've been delivered. And we're being delivered. That's what the process of sanctification is. And the Word of God teaches us that in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Now watch this now. I want you to see the surrounding verses. What's that look like when God begins that work and continues that work of sanctification in our life? Well, in verse 15 it says, see that no man render evil to evil, evil for evil. It'll create in you a heart that's able to forgive. A heart that don't have to get even. A heart that believes the Bible when it says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. I'll take care of this. Keep your hands off of it. Watch this. He said, both among yourselves. He said, ever follow that which is good. So when sanctification is being worked into our heart and in our life, we're not following that which is evil. We're following that which is good, both among yourselves to all men. When sanctification is being worked into our life, we're going to rejoice. Amen. Rejoice evermore. Amen. That's what the Word of God said. Amen. And I believe when we're being sanctified, that's going to be one of the evidences. There's going to be some rejoicing. I was up in my shop years ago, and I don't know how it happened. I don't remember the incident. Somebody texted me a little while back, and I was in the woods. Oh, I think it was about Sister Shelby, about she was getting better, and said, if you shout, that's on you. Amen. I was in the woods years ago. I was reading my little New Testament. I was up in a tree stand waiting on a deer to come along. And God showed me something, Brother Billy. And I hollered, well, glory! Right out there in the middle of the woods. I just kind of sheepishly climbed down. Amen. Went on back to the truck. I forgot where I was at and what I was doing. You know, it'd be good if we just forget where we're at and what we're doing every once in a while and rejoice in the Lord. My son walked up on me one day, and I didn't know he was outside the shop. He said, Dad, he said, there wasn't no way I was going to interrupt what was going on in there. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, there ought to be some times in your life. Listen, I'm for rejoicing in the house of God. But there ought to be some times in your life, wherever you're at, you just rejoice. Amen. The car is a good place. Amen. You pull up alongside somebody at the red light and tears are running down both sides of their face. Amen. You say, what's wrong with them? No, it ain't what's wrong with them. It's what Jesus made right in them. Amen. Rejoice evermore. And then he said, pray without ceasing. I can't read that verse without thinking about my son years ago. He had a little buddy. And his little buddy had his mama was asking the blessing over the food. They were in the truck together, and his mama right in the middle of it sneezed. He said, Mama, the Bible said to pray without sneezing. Amen. Well, that ain't exactly what it said. Amen. And you know, listen, we don't go a lot. We don't go around. None of us do. Calling on God every moment of every day. But I tell you what we can do. We can walk in a spirit of prayer. You know, when somebody says, you get that text, pray for me, Pastor. Somebody says, pray for me. Pray for this. I mean, it shouldn't take us 10 days to get right with God so we can get a prayer for Him. Say amen. We ought to be in that spirit and walking in that spirit of prayer. And then the Bible said, in everything give thanks. I've seen a lot of church signs that are just garbage, to be honest with you. But I saw something on a church sign last week that I liked. We were on our way back from the funeral over a big stone gap, and I saw a sign that says, it said, look, thanks and giving is more than a season. You hear that? Thanks and giving is more than a season. I like that. Amen. That spoke to my heart. The Bible said, in everything give thanks. You say, Pastor, in the trials give thanks. That's what the Bible said. I'm just telling you what the Bible said. Amen. You say, Pastor, how in the world could we thank God for the trial? There's only one way. We'd have to believe. Somebody go with me. He's still working on me. You believe that? Make you what you ought to be? You believe that? Amen? Will is he working in the trial? Is he working on you in the valley? Is he working on you in the mountain? You better believe that he is. That's why he said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Concerning you. Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. And then the Bible said, quench not the Spirit. Anybody ever done that? You see, part of that sanctification. How many's ever God's nudged your heart to witness to somebody and you didn't do it? How many's ever been nudged in a service to testify? Or maybe, I remember I preached a funeral not too long ago. And this guy told his mama, listen, there was some stuff present there that I'm not even going to try to imitate, but it was so obvious that it was sinful. And God let me preach. And I tell you what I did. I just put it on that fellow that was in the ground. I said every time he'd come by my house, he'd say, Brother Rick, what do you think about this? And I'd say, it really don't matter what I think about it. Let's see what God says about it. Amen. There was stuff going on in his family that he knew was not right. Amen. And I tell you what, I just preached it standing on the steps of that cabin. Amen. Where we was having that service. And there's a young man that told his mama after the service, said, Mama, I'm so ashamed. He said, it was quiet while the preacher was preaching and God wanted me to say amen. And I wouldn't say it. You know what he done? He quenched the Holy Ghost. Amen. I could have used a little reinforcement from the Illinois National Guard. Amen. It would have been good if somebody had said amen. Listen, the preacher don't preach for an amen. But I'm going to tell you what, it's good, amen, to know somebody agrees with him once in a while. Amen. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. I'm going to tell you something right now. This is a full-time job. That's what sanctification is. A full-time job. Amen. And God's going to keep working. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body. Faithful is He. The Bible didn't say faithful is you and I, but it said the one that's doing the sanctifying. Faithful is He that calleth you who will also do it. Amen. I like that, don't you? God is faithful. I appreciate that. Listen, let's look at one more verse real quick and then we'll move on to the last thing in the message. My goodness, it's almost 7 o'clock. First Peter chapter number, you see they gave me this watch and it don't work when I'm preaching, but that clock on the wall, it still does. Amen. First Peter chapter number 5, excuse me, chapter number 3. I believe that's where we're going to look at right here. Hebrews, James, and Peter. First Peter chapter number 3. Let's look at a verse here in First Peter. Let's look at verse number 15. Watch what the Bible said. But sanctify, this is that work, the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready on Sunday. Is that what it said? Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope. That's what the choir was singing about a while ago, Brother Caleb. My hope is in the blood. Amen. When somebody asks a reason of that hope that's within you, God said, you be ready to answer. And he said, not with arrogance, but with meekness and fear. Did you know that answer that we give could make the difference in somebody's eternal destiny? Amen. So it's serious, this work of sanctification in our life. So that's the present tense. Now let's look at the future tense quickly tonight. There's a change that has taken place, past tense. There's a change that is taking place, present tense. But I'm glad to report to you, you ain't seen nothing yet. There's a change that's about to take place for the children of God. Let's look at it together tonight. Number one, there's going to be a change in our body. I don't know about you, but I'm glad of that. Amen. There's going to be a change in our body. I want to show you something tonight. In Job chapter 14 and verse 14, this is what Job said. If a man die, shall he live again? Somebody answer that. Somewhere forever. Every one of us is going to live somewhere forever. Watch this. If a man die, shall he live again? And then he said this. All the days of my appointed. Notice that word appointed. I've had this in my heart all week. Funeral after funeral after funeral. It's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. Brother Gary, we're leaving here, ain't we? Amen. One by one. Amen. The soldiers of God are leaving the battlefield and going home. The word of God said here, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait. What's he waiting on? Till my change come. Glory to God. There's a change coming, youngins. Listen to what the Bible said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Who shall change our vile body. I mean, some of y'all are young and you ain't figured it out yet. This old body, it just ain't what it used to be. Amen. Amen. Who change our vile body that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things to himself. I don't know about you. I'm glad I've been changed. I'm glad I'm being changed. And I'm glad, thank God, the best is yet to come. Amen. There's a change coming for the children of God. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 quickly tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Let's look and see what the Word of God said here. I like it. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And verse number 51 is where I'm going to start. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Let me give you this. Sister Thelma has a very, very bad case of dementia. Jesus comes tonight. Guess what? It's over. She's going to be changed just like that. Her mind and her body will be clear. It'll be healed. Notice what the Word of God said. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Everybody ain't going to die. That's what the Bible's talking about. You say, well, it's appointed unto men once to die. In the rapture, beloved, listen. Those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together. I don't know about you, but I think it would be awesome to go on the big load. Amen. I think that would just be wonderful. Amen. The little boy sitting there, he had been saved. You've heard me tell this before. And the preacher's preaching on the coming of the Lord. And he said, how many of you wants to go? And everybody's waving there. Yes, praise God. The little boy just sat there. They asked him after church. They said, son, I thought you got saved a couple weeks ago. He said, I did. He said, I noticed that there was no emotion when I said, how many wants to go? He said, old preacher, I thought you was getting up a load for tonight. Everybody wants to go, but just not tonight. Say amen. That's where we're at. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. I won't name names, but there's been people in recent days that's told me, I can't wait till he comes. I can't wait. You know what they're doing? They're doing just like the creation, Sister Carol. The Bible said the whole creation groans and travails and just can't wait to get out from under this curse. Amen. And go to the city of God. And they're doing the same thing that the creation's doing. Watch this. The Bible said, but we shall all be changed. Paul said it's a mystery. But he said, now I'm going to expose this mystery. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Ain't that good? And we shall be, what's that next word? Change. How many's glad you ain't going like this? Amen. I'm telling you what's the truth. My wife told me last week, she said, you need to get somebody else to cut your hair. At least I got it. Say amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, listen, there can be worse problems than a bad haircut. Amen. But I'm going to tell you this, we're going to be changed. The Bible said, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. The worst mistake I've ever made in the pulpit was in a funeral. I was quoting this verse or reading it or something, I don't know. I said, this mortal must put on immorality. I turned red, brother, and just kept plowing. There was no way to try to fix that, right? I'm just glad in the funeral most people ain't listening anyway. Amen. I just went on, amen. Worst mistake I reckon I've ever made. Oh, just one T, but it changes the meaning of everything, amen. It's what Paul said. She said, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. How many's looking for that? Amen. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Watch this. The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. I love what Paul said. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. Amen. You know, back yonder when we got saved, there was victory. And there ought to be victory in our life on the journey. But thank God there's a victory at the end of the way. Amen. For the children of God. I've already read the last chapter in the last book and we win. Amen. Oh, I tell you, I don't know if you watched the World Series this year. Oh, I got into that, amen. I don't watch baseball all year long, but when it gets down close, I start watching, amen. I believe it's one of the best World Series I've ever seen in my life. Amen. One of them went to 18 innings, and this idiot stayed up and watched it, amen. I think it was 2:30 in the morning when they finally decided who won that game, amen. And the very last game, the rubber match, so to speak, I think it went to 11 innings or something like that. You know, wouldn't it be good if God's people come to church wanting an extra inning? Glory to God. That'd be something, wouldn't it? Amen. 18 innings is exactly twice as long as the ball game's supposed to be. Amen. I'll leave that alone. Amen. I'm not getting too many amens right there. Watch this now. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. Watch this now. Paul is still alive. He's talking to a people that are still alive. He told them what's going to happen, but then he stops at the end of the chapter and said, therefore, because of all these truths that I've exposed you to, therefore, my beloved brethren, that's us, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I'm telling you tonight, beloved, there's a future tense. There's going to be a change in our body. And then if you go to Revelation chapter 21, you don't have to turn there tonight for the sake of time, but there's going to be a change in the bride. Amen. I'm telling you, we're going to be greeted one day by that heavenly bridegroom. Amen. And the bride of Christ. Amen. The Word of God talks about over there in Revelation chapter 21. Just want to read a verse or two there. The Lamb's wife, and what a blessing that is. The Bible said, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Are you part of that bride tonight? The bride of Christ. If you've been born into the family of God, I'm telling you, what a blessing that is. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You know what I like about Revelation chapter 21 and 22? There's a lot of things I like, but I like the no mores. There's no more sea. There's nothing to divide us, amen. Watch this now. And there's no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither is there any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Behold, I make all things new. When you get over Revelation 22 and verse number 3, there's no more curse. I'm telling you, the no more. I'm excited about who is in heaven. I'm excited about what is in heaven. Can you imagine looking down at a street that is pure, transparent gold? Amen. That's what the Word of God. Can you imagine a gate? I can't imagine a pearl that size. But a gate that's hewn out. Can you imagine walls of jasper? But I tell you, none of that would mean anything if Jesus weren't there. And I'm telling you, what a day, what a glorious day that's going to be. There's a change in the bride. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 again. Different verses this time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to start reading in verse number 5. He said, you're all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep. I'm going to tell you something. Brother Keith, he said something when he was here in revival that really spoke to my heart. He said, most of God's people are asleep. Oh, I'm telling you, beloved, we need to awake to righteousness and sin not. For some, the Bible said, have not the knowledge of God. And Paul said, I speak this to your shame. We need to wake up, amen, as God's people. He said, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should be together with Him. That's talking about at yonder, amen. We're going to be together with Him. I thank the Lord, don't you? There is that change, a change that's bad, a change in society, a change that's good, a change in salvation. There's one more thing I want to give you and we're done. I'll just give it to you real quickly. There are some things that will never change. There are some things that will never change. The sovereignty of God will never change. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord. I change not. Glory to God. I don't have to worry about the Lord changing His mind about me in the morning. Say amen. And you don't either if you're saved. Amen. What He doeth, the Word of God said He doeth forever. Amen. We don't have to worry about the sovereignty of God changing. There's some things that will never change. Number two, the Savior of the world. The Bible said Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus is not going to change. And number three, the Scripture. God's Word. The Bible said in Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. I don't know about you, and I'm not fussing if you do, but I don't get up wondering if I've got the right Bible. Amen. I know I've got the Bible. I don't even call this a King James Version. I call it King James Bible. Amen. A version just throws it in there with all the rest of the mess. Say amen. I believe God preserved His Word in the English language right here in this King James Bible. If you don't believe that, that's your prerogative. But I'm telling you something right now. You're going to stand in this pulpit. You're going to teach in this church. This is the Bible you're going to use. Say amen. That's just the way it is. Amen. The Bible said He would preserve His Word to every generation. Either we just found it in the late 1800s or we had it ever since God gave us an English Bible. There's something called Ruckmanites. Many of you probably have never heard of that. But that was some people that followed a man by the name of Peter Ruckman. And a Ruckmanite, here's what a Ruckmanite believed. They believed that the writers of the King James Bible were inspired, just like the original writers of the Bible. I do not believe that. I do not believe that. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That ain't how we got to... Listen, somebody had to take it out of the Greek and out of the Hebrew and put it in the English language. What I believe is God preserved His Word right here in this canon of Scripture that I have in my hands. Amen. And I tell you, it's settled. It's settled in heaven. Amen. How many's ever noticed that if you love the Bible, you love this King James Bible, how many's ever noticed when somebody reads something else? I mean, they can read it on the radio. They can read it in a funeral like we was at this week. And it's just like, well, close. God's Word ain't close. God's Word is pure. Amen. Thank God for His Word. How many's glad you come tonight? Thank you for coming tonight. Thank you for praying.